Today we are finishing the fourth chapter in the book of Ruth, four chapters. I invite you to kind of open up your Bibles because you may be curious about some of the things I talk about. I have to say personally, I've been thrilled to sit in Ruth for 4 weeks. I haven't done this in a very long time. Okay, well, I really have never spent 4 weeks on any Old Testament, and I find myself glad to know Ruth better, to be part of her family. So here now, the words from Ruth, I'm going to read 13 through 22. Here we go. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and Ruth bore a son. Then the women of the town said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became his nurse. Now, okay, she's an old woman. She's not breastfeeding here. The image is that she becomes like a nanny, like a second mother to that child. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name. This did happen. A community could name a child, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi, and they will name him Obed," which means servant, which is short for servant of God. And he became the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now here are the descendants of Perez. Perez became the father of Hezron, and Hezron of Ram, and Ram of Abinadab, and Abinadab of Nahshon, and Nahshon of Salam, and Salam of Boaz, Boaz of Obed, Obed of Jesse, and Jesse of David, King David. That's the clincher here. And then I'm just going to move to Matthew. You don't need to. Just to remind you where Ruth's name comes in again. She is in the genealogy, the family tree of Jesus, because Matthew begins on the account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David of Abraham. And Salam became the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Rahab the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the king of Israel. Ruth becomes one of three women named in the genealogy of Jesus. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God around us, at last, a happy ending. This story, which began in tragedy, three deaths of husbands in three verses, ends in marriage and the birth of a child. But it took a long way to get here. Ruth had to forsake all her family and everything she knew to follow her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to Naomi's homeland of Judah. See, Ruth could not leave Naomi to her sorrow, to her emptiness, to journey back to Judah. She's willing to go with her, and Ruth will be the consummate outsider. And Ruth and Naomi form this family of choice, this unit of love that is filled with kindness and loving support of each other. And when they arrive in Judah, they still have nothing. Naomi is even more bitter, and Ruth has to go out and glean in the field. And you know from last week, it means going into fields after their harvest and picking up little teeny grains to eat. It was a way to take care of the widow and the poor, and then you have Ruth, she's both of those, and she's an outsider. Well, she happens upon Boaz's field. We learn later in the story it's a kinswoman to Naomi, related to her. But Ruth happens on this field, we'd say by God's providence, and she gets enough to eat and some to take home so she and Naomi may thrive a bit. She meets Boaz, and he shows her compassion and care and wants to keep her safe way beyond what is expected. And so during the harvest, they have enough to eat. But when the harvest is over, Naomi starts to worry that they're going to be hungry again. So she comes up with this risky plan for Ruth. She's going to go and meet Boaz in the middle of the night on a threshing floor, and Boaz will want to take her as his wife. Well, it actually works out all right. And Boaz is kind of stunned by Ruth's initiative, by her loyalty, by her love of her mother-in-law, and he calls her worthy and asks that God blesses her, and he even wants Ruth to become his wife. That should be really easy, but there's a little bit of a problem. Back in the land that day, if you had land and someone had to inherit it, it went to the closest relative to the person who died. So Boaz is not the closest relative to Elimelech, the widow, you know, the man who Naomi was married to. So he has to come up with a plan to redeem Ruth, to save Ruth and Naomi. And Boaz doesn't spend any time really going for a plan. He goes that next morning, and he goes down to the gate. That a gate was probably like a city plaza. It's where all the business transactions went on. It's where people hang out to be in the know. And I got to tell you, Boaz's plan was subtle and amazing. Some have said if he wasn't going to work in a field, he should have been a lawyer, because this is really good. He kind of casually sits down in an area where he knows this next of kin will be sitting. And he doesn't even say the person's name. He says, friend. See, it's like not a big deal. And he quickly gathers 10 elders around him, which make this a legal thing to go on. And he says kind of casually, you know, friend, you know, there's this piece of land that Naomi has, and if you want to redeem it, great. If you don't, I'll take first right of refusal. And the person says, yeah, I think I will redeem that land. I'm going to make it part of my inheritance. And Boaz kind of sneaks in, oh yeah, and when you redeem the land, there's Naomi the widow and the widow Ruth. You know, the one who comes from a dead husband, and her husband is dead, and you can redeem her. And the Moabite kind of has to, do you notice Ruth's name isn't even mentioned? The Moabite, the dead person's wife. And I read that story, and I have lots of questions. Like, how come all at once Naomi has a plot of land, and she was starving before? Everyone asks that. No one knows an answer. It could be just because it makes the story really dramatic. The best one I read is what the next of kin would be doing was kind of redeeming the land to keep it in the family so it doesn't get sold off to someone else. It's to kind of keep the land within the clan. But here's what's interesting. Do you notice that Boaz eliminates the positive and only accentuates the negative? Moabite, outsider, dead man's wife. And Boaz, you know, and this is kind of weird because Boaz just before calls her worthy and blessed, and he wants to marry her, but that is not the language he wants to use here. He speaks the language of business because he wants to make a business transaction. And she becomes not something to be wanted, but becomes a burden. Kind of not full of allure, but just an extra thing one doesn't want to bear. And so the kinsman, he hears about this, and at first he says, yes, I'll redeem the land. That is a really decent thing to do. I'm going to take it, and what will happen is it will become part of his inheritance, and his children will get it eventually, and then Boaz kind of throws in, oh yeah, and there's a mother-in-law, and there's a widowed daughter-in-law, and what are you going to do with this? And so you can see the kinsman thinking, wait a minute, this is a little bit more than I expected. Probably he already had a wife, and the expectation kind of would think he'd take Ruth on as a wife, and what's going to happen with family and inheritance? So he says, quite reasonably, no, thank you. I'm going to give you first right of refusal. Now, I do want to say here, there was no law that said he had to care for Ruth and Naomi. It was more of a moral obligation for him to do, and he obviously is not up to it. So he says to Boaz, you take the first right of refusal. And Boaz, he just keeps this cool. I love this. He does this sandal exchange. I got to tell you, that's one of the weirdest things in the Bible. You take my sandal, I take yours. Did they walk away with one? I don't know. And I will tell you, scholars spend a lot of time talking about this, and they don't give any answers, but there we go. Somehow that made it official. And you can tell, though, that Boaz really gets his heart's desire, that Ruth is more than property to be acquired for him. You can hear in this blessing that Ruth becomes part of the community, this outsider. She is talked about with the likes of Rachel and Leah and Tamar. These are women, matriarchs of great strength and an initiative to take what is theirs. Ruth becomes one of those. And then in only 15 words, they marry, they consummate their marriage, and a child is born. Done. And in those 15 words, everything changes. Not just for Ruth and Boaz, but for Naomi. Naomi, this one that when her sons died and her husband died, was so full of anger and bitterness, she felt empty of any hope. This is the one who thought God had turned against her. And now she sees a future with not with Ruth, a future with a grandson. And the community of women understand what an amazing thing Ruth is. Because they said, Ruth is more to you than seven sons. Oh my Lord, you have no idea. Seven sons. She means more to you than that. And it says that Ruth loved Naomi. It's the only place in the story love comes in or is said out loud. Ruth loves Naomi. And in that love, she established this unusual family of kindness, of loyalty, of one that sought the welfare of the other. I mean, it's just amazing. And she loves her enough to let her become like a mother to that baby. And that baby, Obed, restores her soul and nourishes life. Is that not a wonderful image for a child? And if that's not enough, this child of a woman from Moabite, an immigrant, becomes a part of King David's family and a part of our family of faith, because we believe we are part of God's family, that through Jesus we are children of this family of faith. And so it's like we get Ruth in our family tree. How many of you have been doing Ancestor.com or 23andMe? I've done that. It's kind of interesting. I mean, when my friends talk about it, they say, oh, I'm related to Prince William, or I'm related to someone who came on the Mayflower. You never hear them say, well, yeah, these really poor Irish immigrants, they're mine, or my family, oh, they were shopkeepers. That kind of average stuff doesn't get in there, but it's much more interesting. But we get Ruth. She's one of those immigrants, one of those people that wasn't very much. But we get her in our family of faith, and we get to inherit her sense of loyalty, of loving kindness, of strength. This outsider Ruth leads the way of hope and love, showing the image of what the peaceable kingdom will be like. This family member in Jesus's genealogy shows what it is to walk in the ways of love and compassion, the ways that Jesus showed us. One scholar puts it this way: the portrait of this community back in Ruth's day is like a microcosm of what the peaceable kingdom is supposed to be like. It is a human community in which the marginalized person, Ruth, dared to insist on full participation. It's one where the one who is at the center, Boaz, reached out beyond social norms and included that outsider, that marginalized person. It's a community in which all are fed. It's a community where joy is dominant, where the young are honored and the old are nourished. That's the family vision we inherit. And friends, there will be times in our lives when we feel like Ruth and Naomi, when it feels like we have nothing left, when it feels like our hearts are broken. And the promise here is that God will work in the midst of even that pain. And in difficult circumstances, we still get to participate in the building up of this kingdom of God, this peaceable community. And it happens when we extend hospitality to strangers, particularly when we share with what we glean with others. It means when we see things that are unexpected and unexplained, we live and strive through them. So Ruth's hope may be ours, that the memory of this happy ending will become our future and our present. Thanks be for our mother in faith, Ruth, who gives us a vision of hope and love and peace even today. May we live into her family name. Amen.